It's never too late to try something new, not at least for an octogenarian cartoonist and writer who's tried his sketcher's hand at a graphic novel. Book critic Joan Baum has this review of Jules Feiffer's Kill My Mother.
It's hard to believe that Jules Feiffer had a hard time trying to draw when he started out, but he did, at least drawing in the style he wanted to, in imitation of his culture heroes who did action comics and dark adventure tales and made tough guy movies like The Maltese Falcon. He felt he could write that kind of pulp fiction, but that he was, as he put it, inept as a draftsman. And so he drifted into doing satirical comic panels for the Village Voice. Of course, along the way, he found a signature style and subject matter, nervous, elongated, wavy line figures, usually female dancers, in the throes of anguish, unable to cope with relationships or urban life. Feiffer went on to be an award-winning cartoonist and an award-winning playwright, screenwriter, children's book author, and now, at the age of 85, he's come out with a graphic novel, his first. Called Kill My Mother, the 150-page novel fulfills his lifelong dream to write and illustrate an extended work of fiction in homage to those old comic books and dime detective novels that featured hard-boiled guys and dolls committing or thwarting violence and evil. Think Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler, and on the movie side, John Huston, Howard Hawks, Billy Wilder. They all worked in a genre now known as noir, and no one wanted in on noir and the graphic novel more than Feiffer. He was a child of the Depression, he points out, when adventure comics provided elaborate escapes because they were so much more attractive than real life. In Kill My Mother, Feiffer recreates the characters and situations of the old comics, but invests them with sardonic humor and dark vision. Femmes are fatale, baddies bloody thugs, but he does allow a couple of characters to morph into new and better identities. In general, though, everyone in Feifferland is an imposter, hypocritical, full of pretense, or deluded. Even the structure of the narrative is disjointed, though it might be said deliberately so, to reflect the times. Part 1, called Bay City Blues, is set in 1933. Part 2, Hooray for Hollywood, in 1943. The 40s were the war years, but also the height of the American songbook and radio sitcoms. Feiffer brings them all together in Part 2, but don't look for smooth transitions, because you won't find them here. Or in real life. At the end, a slinky starlet sings, "Invent your own story. I'm done telling mine." Is he ever? Feiffer fans will be intrigued and surprised. I'm Joan Baum.